This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And without a doubt, this is most definitely Uncensored. Sex Talk with Jonty Searle. And Claire is here.
I am.
And that is so cool.
Thank you for having me.
After being so full of cuck this morning.
Okay. I think I was very well behaved, but that's fine.
Well, we don't want you to be well behaved. That's the whole point.
Right.
It is really cool that you are here, and I must have you in the studio.
Yes, thank you for having me, and thank you for inviting me back. Love it.
It's very, very cool.
Cool.
So let's see if you are any smart this morning.
No.
Can answer it. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
pluviophile.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Dirty dictionary word.
Pluviophile. Mm. So last week this word was very appropriate.
Okay.
So maybe think about the sky, weather. If you know what a pluviophile is, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. If you have had sex with a robot, sex with a doll, if you've had sex with a melon.
I thought you were going to say man.
Mm. A man. Well.
Melon.
Man. A melon. I mean, why not?
Oh, I was hearing about American footballs as well.
Yeah.
There's a fetish for American football.
That's an interesting one.
I don't know.
So if you have any of those, if you enjoy remote control vibrators, all sorts of things to do with tech and wires and phones and sex and things, message us 079-748-2090. We would love to hear about that. Take a guess at what a pluviophile might be.
I want to say something to do with feathers, but a plume is something to do with feathers. So that's obviously not it. Pluvial. I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, well, towards the end of the show, I will tell you.
Yay.
What a pluviophile is.
Okay.
Okay. So, we're talking about sex and technology.
Yes.
And I was talking to somebody on the way here, and she said something interesting. She said, like, the way it's going, and I actually read about this yesterday, is that it's going to go from objects to kind of brain stimulation.
Okay.
Where your certain areas of your brain that are activated by sex or that activates your sexuality can be stimulated.
That's very interesting.
So at the moment, there's one lab in America somewhere, a research lab, that's actually doing that.
Okay.
So it comes down to, are you looking for... are you looking to get off, or are you looking for connection?
Yeah.
And essentially, I think that's the thing.
Because when we spoke about it last time, and we were talking about the people that were actually inventing the robots or developing them, a lot of those, the documentary that I watched and a lot of research I've done, those people haven't connected with people with... because a lot of the inventors were men, they hadn't connected with women on a different level, you know, on that... connection kind of level. There was nothing. It was just physical, just kind of getting off. And I think that was very important to them. They hadn't found the friend that they needed or the stimulation that they needed to. So I think if you're looking at getting the brain going, and that's very important. I think it's important for a lot of people. It probably helps that feeling of love, intimacy, all that kind of stuff. You know, you've got to get the brain going. Mm. I know sex is a release, and you know, some people can have sex with anyone. It's that you don't need that whole intimacy issue to come up. But I think when we spoke about the robot side of things, it was just to climax and you didn't have to cuddle the cold little the Terminator afterwards kind of thing.
Yeah. So
it would be very interesting to see what develops from getting the mind going.
It's interesting what you said there is that I am curious if any woman has been involved in the development of a sex robot.
Yeah. The documentaries that I've watched and things, a lot of wives are very supportive of it. And maybe, you know, maybe they have lecherous husbands and it gives them 5 minutes break if he's tinkering around with his sex robot kind of thing. But I'm not sure. You know, that's the only
thing. So I see that as a problem in a relationship. You know, from my point of view, somebody comes along and she says, oh, I'm only too happy that he has sex with this robot. Yeah. I would say, you have issues.
No,
you need to
agree
come
completely.
See me. You need to go see somebody else because you have issues. There is
no question. I agree completely. But the one wife that I'm thinking of specifically, I think she was very supportive on camera, but I just had this vision of her rolling her eyes behind the scenes, yeah. You know. So you never know with these women.
Absolutely.
And as long as she's supporting him, I suppose.
And just because it's on Facebook or YouTube does not mean it's true.
No. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it would be interesting. I will have a little look and see if there are any women, and we will talk about that in a sec.
So I asked you about the robots. What do they actually do? Like, what are the sex acts that they can actually be used for? I mean, I guess there's the standard thing. They have a mouse, they have a yoni, they have an anus. And so they have a lingam. So lingam, for those who don't know, is the tantric word for a cock. It means staff of life. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I need to say something before I carry on. I got such a cool message this morning from somebody in San Francisco who listens to the show every week. I'm not going to put his real name. Tantra Massage San Francisco, thank you. I so appreciate your message. And it is so cool to just be able to sit here and talk to people
and
around
know that
the world.
You're reaching people.
Thank you.
What did they say?
Enjoys the show every week.
Oh, lovely.
And I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
Is it early to get up for them as well, isn't it?
Well, remember, there's a podcast.
Oh, of course.
See.
Of course.
Yeah.
So they download and listen at their leisure.
Probably.
Perfect. yes. So thinking about what these robots can do.
Yeah.
What sort of what I've seen, and the last time I spoke to you and up until now, a lot of these robots were still in development stages. You know, it's obviously an idea that's out there and a lot of people sort of rushing to try and develop the same thing or develop something that'll work. When they were presented on stage, a lot of them didn't really work and couldn't do anything. A lot of them kind of, the one that I can think of specifically, she is just a very pretty
bimbo.
Orifice to put it in, I think, you know. So I think she just looked like a sex doll that would then, you know, the only thing that I found, she could twist her head from side to side. And I found that a bit, I mean, what does that matter kind of thing?
Yeah.
But
that's according to porn, you know, that's a sign of arousal and passion. Oh, yes, yes. And every shake of the head and, you know, the hair's going all over.
Go. Yeah. So the male robot that I saw developed obviously had a cock, a very big one, which was quite a shock. It was a shock cock.
A shock cock.
It was quite a big one. And basically he's been developed to move his pelvis forward and back.
Okay.
So you can position him flat on his back and do whatever you need to do there, or you can put him on all fours and do what you need to do there. So he was, and I suppose you can have a on and off switch and that just works. How fiddly would it be to try and get him on top of you is my only, you know, and
because I'm sure they're not lightweight, these things.
No. And it was very, it was presented, how the setting was set up, it just looked like that might be quite painful and dangerous. You know, if you also in the moment of passion, you push the wrong button and there it is going for it. You know, you just, I don't know. I don't know how that would work well. I suppose if she was on top and riding it, it would be a different story. But him on top was a bit odd, I thought.
Mm. What do these dolls cost?
I would have to look that up, but I'm sure there's nothing in they're all in production at the moment. Okay. These gents that were putting these dolls together, spending their life savings trying to get this thing going. And I think if any of them develop something successful, I think they would really coin it. But I mean, to be honest, they're really bankrupting themselves just to get these things going, you know.
It's fascinating. I was thinking about this this morning, and I was thinking about the amount of time and effort and energy that people have spent on expanding sex.
Yeah.
In the virtual world.
But it's a need, isn't it? It's a want, and it's simple economics, really.
I mean, I remember reading some stuff for one of the shows that we did, and I was looking at photography.
Right.
And thinking that, I mean, I don't remember the exact date that the first pictures were taken. They were called daguerreotypes.
Yes.
And literally, like, the second or third photograph ever taken was of a nude woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of, that was it, you know. Yeah. From there, people have spent so much time and effort and money and thought, and creativity, expanding.
Well, that's the thing, constantly trying to find a new way to, you know,
Yeah, and there's a great movie, if you haven't seen it, it's called The Middleman.
Oh, yes.
And The Middleman is about the first internet payment gateway.
Yes.
And the first internet payment gateway was for an adult site, for a porn site. That was it.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something that struck me as well, the word adult. Like, we call it an adult shop as opposed to a sex shop or a pleasure shop or a whatever. But just that term, like, this is adult and everything else isn't.
Do you think it's for the sensitivity of children, maybe? That's the right, you know, if a child sees adult shop, he's not going to think sex shop. But the way it looks from the outside, I think people will be like, oh, I know what happens.
Absolutely.
Kids are not stupid. They know what's going on in the world.
That just was an interesting thing.
Yeah, maybe it's
like that term.
Yeah.
Adult.
Adult. And some of those people are not adults that are engaging in
exactly
things.
What I was going to say, that a lot of people do not approach sex from an adult point of view.
Bring issues from childhood into it. And
It was just an interesting little thought, because words are important. It's this whole theory that I have that language impacts on our reality enormously.
Yeah.
So our sensual and sexual and pleasure and emotional vocabulary is actually very narrow for most people.
Right.
Which means a lot of their experiences are quite narrow.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, because if you think about the fact that, think about the words that you would use to describe sensation.
Right.
Think about how many words you might know. So generally, we know kind of...
Not many.
Yeah, that's the thing. We know big words, like we know the surface words.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels good.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because if I'm touching you and I'm asking you, or I want feedback from you, that doesn't tell me a whole lot other than you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Thumbs up, basically. High five.
There we go. But that's all.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
What does feel good mean? Is it tingly? Is it hot? Is it ticklish? Is it exciting? Is it, you know?
Is it a deep feeling? Is it a light feeling? Yeah.
And that becomes really interesting.
That's very interesting.
So we need to go under the surface of these things. And the same with our emotions.
But do you think it's too, people keep it superficial because why? Because we're too embarrassed to talk about it? Because it's taboo to talk about it? What do you think it is?
And we've just never gone deeply into it.
And you'd think, sorry to interrupt you, but you'd think in this day and age, it wouldn't be something to worry. I mean, obviously, you're not going to talk about it in front of your parents and, you know, those kinds of situations. Or, you know, the spouse's parents, you don't mention it. But, you know, we're all adults and we should all be able to talk about it. Yeah. So I don't understand, you know, why.
But that's the thing. And if you want to expand your pleasure and if you want to expand your communication about pleasure, you need to expand the words that you use. And we need to be able to go into the depth of things.
Yeah.
And I think we fear that.
Yeah.
As a generalization, we're comfortable with the surface. We fear intensity and we fear the power of intensity.
Right.
And what's interesting is we generally have more words for negative, so-called negative emotions than we do for positive.
Yeah, that is very strange.
So we're much more comfortable talking about our pain than we are talking about our pleasure.
It's something good. And you'd think you'd want to be able to talk about pleasure because it's a positive thing.
And you know what's interesting? Years ago, I was working in a health center where there were quite a lot of psychologists in the building. It was really interesting. There was me, there were a whole lot of psychologists, there was a homeopath, and there was a colonic lady.
Right.
Which was really interesting.
Right. And it sounds like a joke, like you're setting me up for a joke.
But it was real. And when people were in my office, it wasn't a very well insulated building.
Right.
When they were crying, the psychologists had no problem with that. They had no problem with the sounds of pain.
That's strange.
And one day, I remember on one particular day, doing two or three pleasure massages, and the noises coming from the room were very, very different.
Right.
They could not deal with this and put in a whole lot of complaints.
You're joking.
No.
They don't like the sound of pleasure.
No, they couldn't. It's like people can cry, that's fine. But they couldn't handle the fact that here was somebody having pleasure or having an orgasm, whatever. And this was not okay. This
was not acceptable. You should have told them to sign up. Come for a little lesson and let's see.
This was not acceptable.
That's unbelievable.
Mm, but that's what we're like.
But that's what society's like. We're closed off to everything. Absolutely. And they were talking about professionals that should be open to feelings and things. And it's, you know, they're not. Not at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're very, very different.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
So the words that we use need to become really important. And actually, it just, I never thought about this before, but sex, this is a space where sex toys could actually be quite useful as a tool, because if you touch, like if you take a standard sort of cock-shaped vibrator, not necessarily an expensive one, but if you put that on different parts of your body, it would give you very different sensations.
Yeah.
And that would be a really interesting way to explore sensation.
Right.
And to be able to communicate about it.
Right.
So in the crook of my elbow, in the crease of my elbow, just as a by the by, in terms of touch, body creases are more sensitive than anywhere else.
Right.
So spend more time on body creases.
Okay.
So if you put it in different parts of your body, it would give you different sensation. That would start to make you aware of the different words.
Right. But you'd have to focus and you'd have to have an idea of what you know. I think you'd have to be in tune with what you're feeling as well, you know.
But it's a learning process.
That's very good. So that's really interesting.
It's an interesting one. That if you put it on your knee, you put it on your thigh, you put it on your ankle, you put it on the back of your neck, you put it on your nipple, it would feel
different.
Different.
Yeah.
And then
you would react differently as well.
Then you need to find the words to describe that. Yeah. So this is ticklish. This is tingly.
Yeah.
Ooh,
this is uncomfortable, or this makes me uncomfortable. Yeah, no, you're right. So basically, you're saying technology could help your sex vocabulary as well.
Sure, it could. I mean, touch can do exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
and we're doing a beautiful workshop tomorrow called "The Lover's Touch," which is about exploring and teaching people to touch.
Lovely.
But essentially, it could be a really interesting use of technology for that.
Because touch is something that'll always be missing if you're thinking about sex robots.
That's it.
We were talking earlier, I might have mentioned it, there's no intimacy. There's no sort of foreplay with it or anything. You know, it's just to get down to business, basically.
And that's one of the things that, it's one of my gripes with technology as such, in that people have online relationships. It's a relationship by the definition of the word relationship, but it's not intimacy.
Yeah.
And to mistake that for intimacy, I think, is an issue.
No, I agree completely. But that would be the complaint about technology across the board. Mm. I mean, we're not communicating properly because we're just using, you know, we're shortening our language with SMS speak and things like that. We don't like to make phone calls anymore and speak to people. We'd rather just send a message. You know, communication over email isn't, sometimes we take it the wrong way. It wasn't intended that way, but we think somebody's being short with us. So I think that's the complaint about technology, not only for intimacy and maybe sex, but for everything. You know, technology, we are that society that wants everything now and quickly and done, and there's no working on things. And I think, you know, where intimacy is concerned, you do need to, you know, You need to warm it up a little bit before you can get down to anything.
And it's very much this instant gratification.
Exactly.
Which is what porn does, which kind of brought up an interesting thing. I've never had webcam sex with somebody.
Okay.
I mean, I love sexting.
Yeah.
And that, I think,
is very, so much fun.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
With
my husband, people. Yes, so much fun.
Well, I was getting hopeful from them. Please, Stu, just a little bit.
I'm sure Stu won't mind. He'll send you some messages later. I'm sure he won't mind.
Okay, Stu, we can play on the phone. I'm very fond of him, so I don't mind.
Bless him.
But yes. I think he might be blushing right now. What is interesting, have you ever had, I've never known about this, but I'm sure it exists. There must be like WhatsApp sex group chats.
I've never heard of that, but I think there must be.
There must be.
Mm.
So if you have ever been involved in a WhatsApp group sex chat, let us know.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, somebody might just be there for notes on how to, you know, learn a little bit.
Yeah, like a lurker in
the
corner.
That would be very interesting.
But have you ever done that? Even like a threesome on WhatsApp?
That'd be interesting.
That would be.
It would work, I think, as
well. Of course it
would. Yeah, because you're not actually engaging in the physical act. You're just getting
but that would be a really interesting one.
Yeah.
I never thought about that one before. So if you have ever, let us know.
It'd be very interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, imagine like a 10-person group WhatsApp.
My God. Like a WhatsApp orgy. Exactly. Yeah. A WhatsApp orgy. Orgy app.
That would be really
interesting.
Everybody like on their own little mission doing their own little thing, because that's what often happens in an orgy, you know, and you move around and all these
things happen.
You say,
I don't know. Oh. I'll take your word for it.
Yes.
But yes.
Orgies are hard work, I have to tell you.
I can imagine that.
They are.
And I think as a people pleaser, I think it would be very difficult to keep everybody, I'd be walking around going, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? How's it going over here? Can I get you anything? I'd be one of those people.
Well, then they'll say, just slide down over here or get on your knees here or open your mouth there. And it would be.
They'd just tell me what to do. I love it.
You know, Playboy TV made a great series that I really enjoyed called Swing.
Oh, yes.
You got to look this up if you haven't watched
it.
So it's a reality show.
Okay.
And the basic story is there's this mansion and they have like 5 or 6 permanent swinger couples.
Oh, cool.
And every episode they bring another couple in to explore their fantasies.
So it was a reality show, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And I think they made 6 seasons of it.
Wow.
Which was really cool. Just called Swing.
Mm-hmm.
And they interview them all the time as to what they're feeling and what's happening. And I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And even when people have lousy experiences or negative experiences, they showed that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great because it was an honest show.
Yeah.
It's like in one show that was really hectic, this one guy gets quite drunk and they show the impact of that, which makes you see how important it is. Be stone cold sober.
Yeah.
Anyway, the one thing, this one woman who is part of like the permanent couples, they interview these permanent couples as well, how they got into the swingers lifestyle, what it's done for them. And she's sitting on a bench and she's talking and she says with her partner, and she says, you know, my fantasy for you is to have a woman on each of your hands, one in your face, one in your cock. And this guy looks at her and he says, God, that just sounds like so much work.
But that's because women are good at multitasking and men aren't. It'd be too difficult to concentrate on everything for a guy. No, I'm just teasing you.
I have to share my multitasking story.
Do it. Okay. Do it.
Because, by the way, multitasking is absolute crap. Our brains do not work
that.
So, but here's a story. Long time ago, back when I was involved in other aspects of life.
Okay.
I was at a sex club one night, and I was doing expanded orgasm with 2 women at the same time, one with each hand, and I got them to come at the same time, and I thought this was pretty
cool. That's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of more fun than anything else. And a couple of weeks later, I was at a wedding somewhere at a hotel, and I was in the bathroom, and I was weeing, and I was on the phone to my daughter at the same time about when I had to fetch her.
Okay.
And this guy walked in, and he was a little bit trashed. And he said, yes, but amazed you can do 2 things at once. And I just burst out laughing. And I said to him, you have no idea.
That's brilliant.
Cracked myself.
You have no idea, mate. Aw, shame. That's hysterical.
We actually did that in one of the theater erotics at Sexpo. It was like the last show that we did.
Mm.
And 2 women had orgasms at the same time.
Wow. That's crazy.
It
must have been quite of a show as well.
Absolutely. Oh, wait. Here we go. Nadine, I've tried the WhatsApp threesome chat. We shared gifts and it was lots of fun going home to my boyfriend at the time as he was part of the chat.
Oh, that's very interesting.
That sounds really, really
cool. So was it 2 boys, Nadine, or
2 girls?
Yeah, we
want to know. Yeah, which is an interesting thing. So tell us, if in your first threesome you were to have 2 of the same sex or 2 of the opposite sex. Did I say that right? If you were a woman and your first threesome, would you want 2 men or would you want a woman and a man? If you were a man,
Yeah.
Well, for most men, it would be two women.
Be two women, I don't think a lot of.
Which is an interesting thing. So, guys, I have to tell you something here. If you come home to your partner and you say, I want to have a threesome with you and another woman, and she says, okay, but then I want to have a threesome with you and another man, that's where most men fall down and close the door. It needs to be fair for everybody.
Mm.
The same way. He wants to stick a finger up your butt, you stick a finger up his butt.
I think that's only fair. It's a fair playing field, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question.
I can't remember what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought there. Finger up the butt there. Got me all like, interesting.
Distractions are so easy.
No, because we were talking about the swinging. Oh, dear. We were talking about the swinging, and now I can't remember what I was going to say. Let's change the subject quickly. So, I'll tell you about a sex doll that's just been released this year.
Yes.
Her name is Solana, and she was presented as this... I mean, she's actually pretty gorgeous. Her mouth seems to move, her eyes blink. Really, looks like a bit of a porn star.
Does she talk with her mouth full or without her mouth full?
No.
Well, if it's like
her
voice...
Her teeth are big, though, so I don't know if that's something you want to go down.
If it's a voice chip inside, she could still talk with her mouth full because she doesn't need her mouth to talk.
You're expecting too much of these poor sex dolls. Shame.
Okay, it was two girls, myself, my friend, and my boyfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
Their threesome chat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So were there pictures of yourselves or were they just like random pictures you found that turned you on?
I love Nadine. It is Nadine, hey?
Yeah, I think Nadine, you're going to come talk to us one day.
Come educate me. Oh, dear. This sex bot.
Yes.
Okay. So the thing about it is you can remove the face. I don't know.
What
it freaks me out. And it says here you can peel the face off like a banana.
Yeah.
And then you have basically the Terminator face underneath. So you can change your face, you can change your hair.
So you can put different faces on.
You can put different faces on.
That's like, what does that movie Face Off, you know?
Yes, where they swap the two around.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a good movie.
So the brilliant movie. The only thing, the question here is, are you aroused yet? And it's a picture of the robot face.
Yeah.
So it's pretty scary, that.
Sure.
It's very white, plain.
That's
it's
like
just
in
teeth.
The whole fetish realm.
Oh, really?
Oh,
really?
Yes.
So there she is.
And there's the face being peeled off.
Like a banana, exactly like a banana.
I have to tell you, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Because I spent time learning in a mortuary. And during a post-mortem, that's exactly what they do with faces.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Which, I mean, is
maybe
its
that's
own,
where the idea
it's
comes
its
from.
Own fetish.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what she looks like afterwards. So she's really, you know... Dark hair, big lips, big eyes.
It's like
she's
real
beautiful.
Stepford. I don't think so. That's
you don't
like
think so.
Stepford Wives.
She looks
type
like
thing.
A porn doll kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. There's like nothing human.
No.
That's the thing. Nothing about that would attract me because there's nothing human.
Yeah.
So my thing is connection.
Right.
That's what does
right.
it for me.
Right.
Arousal and connection for me are inextricably linked. I cannot
right.
just have sex with any random
no.
person.
No.
For me, it's connection and intimacy.
Right.
And I look at that, it doesn't even look human. That's the thing. For
no.
me, it doesn't even look
no.
my like, other, like a person.
My other problem with these sex dolls is that, like you say, they don't look like people. They sit
no.
with their legs open like they're manscaping, which mm. I think is horrible. You know, they sit with the legs open. And mm. I just, it. You know, you want a lady, I would think, or
well,
sort
just
of.
A human being.
Somebody that looks like a lady, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's out and about. She's on the, she's... Sort of on the scale, she's coming.
Okay.
Ha. And, yeah, I think you can control it with your phone and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
All that kind
well, that's
of stuff.
The new thing. I mean, that's the big thing at the moment is all the remote control stuff.
Mm.
And I actually read about a remote control vibrator that picks up stuff from the environment around you.
Okay.
So it's not even like you just however it actually works.
Yeah.
So like if you're in Santon,
yeah,
it's going to pick up all the sounds of everything around you,
right,
and vibrate to that kind of frequency.
You mean like pick up a rhythm, maybe, or something
yeah.
like that's interesting.
So think about that in terms of like being at a music concert, for example.
Wow.
So I have to, Oh, this opens worlds.
Yay!
So think I did a sound journey this week with my friend Courtney.
Okay.
Who, by the way, is coming on the show next week and just bring a didgeridoo.
What's a sound journey?
So it's like a sound meditation. You lie down and they play these phenomenal array of Aboriginal native instruments.
Okay.
Like there's sound bowls, didgers, mouth harps, wow, drums, all sorts of
and it's a meditation.
Things. Yes, you lie there with your eyes closed. And this amazing sounds wash over you and through you.
And I'm sure you can feel your hair stand
and
up.
And it takes
and
you to
amazing.
This incredibly deep emotional place. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's beautiful. Sometimes it's a total out-of-body experience.
Right.
But just think about the different places that you're in. I mean, imagine standing in the middle of town, like in sort of rush hour traffic, and there's all these cars and hooters and taxis and people.
Yeah.
And all of that happening inside of you.
Yeah.
That's quite an interesting
idea. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
Huh. Well, you know, we're going up to Mozambique soon to do an amazing retreat there with the dolphins. Imagine that in the water.
But, yeah.
The frequencies of that.
Oh. Be interesting. Would be nice and calming, I think, as well.
Yeah, it would be amazing to see the frequencies. Because everything in our world is energy. You know, like that's the model that I use for everything is that it's all energy and frequencies.
Yeah. But you wonder about those kinds of things, whether, you know, heat and cool would affect it as well. You know, if it's judging your surroundings and working off of that.
Mm.
If it's too hot outside, does it cool? You know, those kinds of things. Yeah. It would be very interesting to find out.
So just by the way, in terms of sensation play, if you want to do something interesting with heat and cool, get a block of ice cubes, get a bowl of warm water and a cloth, like a soft face cloth, and alternate those on your partner's body.
Wow. You'd see what they like and what they don't
like. That's really interesting. So Levinson is out there giving oral sex to a speaker. The speaker is not really responding. Dave, I think I need to teach you some things about the difference between speakers and people. Okay, so now Nadine's blushing. It started off as gifts we found on Tumblr, and then we made gifts from videos my boyfriend and I made. Then my friend started sending nudes of herself too.
I'm in awe of people that can trust people this much.
It's a big thing because, and we've spoken about that, like if you send somebody a nude picture of yourself, you are opening yourself up to all sorts of
possibilities. But also relationships change. I mean, not that I'm saying anything about Nadine, but I'm in awe of people that can throw themselves into, you know, it's a fear thing, I suppose. Fear
and there's also a point, you know, at which, well, fuck it, I've done it, so it's out there.
Yeah.
So, Nadine, I think you're going to come spend some time with us.
Yeah, that sounds like it. She's great.
We need to get you and Claire together. You and Tamar together. Oh my
goodness.
God.
That's oh, just goodness. You won't get a word in edgeways. You won't get a word in edgeways.
That's fine.
I've got a
Just something that's interesting. Years ago, I read a fascinating book. It was in-depth interviews with, I think, 6 female porn stars.
Oh, wow.
I think somebody actually did it as a PhD thesis. And it was their life story, how they'd gotten into porn, why. Interesting thing, they were all college-educated women.
Mm.
They all made this very conscious choice.
Mm.
And the one thing that they all said they would absolutely recommend that as a career choice if you really wanted to.
Porn.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the one thing they said was, you have to know that from the very first moment you step in front of a camera, that is there forever.
Yeah.
And at some point, somebody's going to find that.
And it's worse now. I mean, now it's out there just accessible for, you know, whereas before you had to dig through a library and find it, you know, or you happen upon it in a video shop. If people don't know what a video shop is, Google it. But, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas now.
I mean, there is, I know, and you probably find this online, but there is an adult shop that I drop into every now and then in Norwood.
Mm.
And they have a back room.
Yeah.
So there's like the normal shop.
Yeah.
And then it's still, I mean, even in a place like that, there's still the back room. And one shelf are all of these sex tapes from amazing movie stars and things.
Really?
And the last time I was there.
Like home videos kind of thing or ones that they've done, you know.
A mixture.
Oh, right.
But the one was, and I don't know if it's real or not, was a Jimi Hendrix sex tape.
Never.
So I don't know if it's real or not. You never know. But, I mean, if you think about the drugs and everything else that was involved, who knows?
Who knows what people could do?
So that was really interesting.
Yeah. It was That's the scary thing.
A Jimi Hendrix DVD.
Wow.
Jimi Hendrix.
Different kind of, different angle of Jimi Hendrix, that's for sure.
Literally and figuratively.
yeah, I find you know, that like we were saying, but nowadays it's just easy. You video it, you stream it, you can, you know, you can do a live video. You
well,
can do whatever
cam,
you want.
Well, the cam girl, and I presume cam men and cam couple, whatever, industry, is worth billions of dollars now.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, it's
huge.
People think they can just delete something or just take it off. You know, once it's out there, you know, I've spoken about digital footprint before. It's there. Somebody's screenshotted something or kept something or downloaded it or whatever. You need to be very careful about what you're putting out there. Definitely.
No question of that. And this cam sex thing, it's huge in the world today.
Really?
And a lot of college girls are doing it to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hectically nasty side of it as well, where young girls, teenage girls are doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. Feel like you've got no option.
There's
really
a scary documentary. It's called Hot Girls Wanted.
Oh, I've wanted to watch that. Is it good?
It's fascinating.
Really?
I don't know that I'd use the word good.
Okay.
But it is fascinating.
I need to work on my vocab, remember?
Okay. So from, that point of view, it's good.
Okay.
It is fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
It really is. So it's the story of a young woman who leaves home, I think, Florida to get into porn. And it's how it happens. And it really is. It's scary. It's it's
but intense. It's terrifying how things haven't really changed. These young girls are still brought in, influenced incorrectly, you know. And I was watching, I can't remember what it was, but it's something from like 1920s. And the girls, you know, don't grow up in the best home, somehow get invited away by some charming young man, and they were bribed with like cake and a hot cup of tea, and then, oh, this man loves me, and da 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 da, and then he just puts her in a room, and you know, and you just think things haven't changed.
No.
100 years and
technology's
it's still
changed.
Basic. Yeah.
But we are doing the same things that we have done.
Mm.
All that we have is more technology and more access.
And easier. It's easier now, maybe.
But the thing we've got to remember in that is people haven't changed.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's fascinating. You would think by now we would have, you know.
Well, this is the thing, and some people have spoken about this, that we have this huge lag between what we have available to us technologically and where we are emotionally
and
ethically.
Yeah.
And it's one of the biggest problems in our world because emotionally and ethically we are nowhere near where we are technologically. Mm. And it's a huge problem.
But you say that about ethics, but something that's ethical to you might not be ethical to someone else. So there's no, you know, I have this argument about Christianity all the time. You know, some people don't believe in God, some people do, but the rules that they live by to a certain extent are great, but then maybe not, you know, to other people they're not, those kinds of things. You know, it's difficult because if we had like a blanket rule for ethics or a blanket rule for technology or, you know, and people engaged in exactly the same way, they probably wouldn't, life would be boring, but there probably wouldn't be as many sort of shocking incidents that we see every day. Or something will be shocking to me, but not shocking to somebody else. Yeah. And that's, you know, if we all
We don't live in this uniform world.
No.
So
we have different beliefs. We have different lifestyles. Mm. We have different ways of half the people are just trying to survive every day, you know?
I'll tell you an interesting story. Years ago, it was the first time I was on live TV talking about sex. And it was supposed to be a show about what was good or bad about porn.
Right.
And they were supposed to have the South African porn star called Nina, who was on the show.
Yeah.
And a firebrand priest who was violently anti-porn.
And that must have been interesting.
And I was supposed to be the moderating influence.
You were keeping them at bay.
That's
right.
And at the last minute, the priest said he's not coming.
Oh, sure.
So the whole thing kind of collapsed, and they found some other priest who had a congregation in Alexandra, in the township.
Right.
And we're talking quite a long time ago.
Right.
And he walked in and he said, his first sentence destroyed the whole thing because he said, I don't care about porn, I care about keeping kids off the streets.
All right.
That was like the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what
you need to be a bit more passionate. If we're going to do an hour segment, you need to be able to talk about it.
So what was funny about the porn star, she was wearing this like almost dress.
Okay.
And
so she was trying to be provocative, trying to provoke something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Good for her.
And she was supposed to do at the end of the show a Sharon Stone flash.
Oh, right.
And whether she did or didn't, I don't remember. But I do remember the sound guys couldn't wait to mic her up because it had to go like under her dress. And I do remember as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Her husband was there, who was her manager.
Right.
And the other presenter of the show was trying to bait him, because when the whole thing collapsed, it was like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And she was trying to bait the husband into, well, what's the difference between being a manager and a pimp kind of thing?
Right.
And anyway, I did some research for this show.
Not fair really, but okay, no. Fine.
And I was trying to find a definition of pornography.
Right.
So the interesting thing was the United States Supreme Court has heard more obscenity cases than any other legal body.
Wow.
You know, people bringing books and movies that they wanted deemed right. obscene.
Right.
And I guess in South Africa we were pretty much the same, except there was just this blanket. Everything was banned, full
right.
stop.
Right.
And there was no definition of what constituted something obscene. And what they came up with was this phrase, prevailing community standards.
Right.
Which meant every community, so think about
has
like,
a different
like Danefern down the road here yeah. has a reputation of being a community with a lot of swingers.
Right.
What would be
But high standards, I think.
Well, maybe.
You know, yeah.
But what would be acceptable in Danefern might not be acceptable in Bloemfontein.
Definitely not. I don't think so.
Listen, in a little conservative
little
town, you never know what goes on.
But you shock me continuously. I mean, I think they're going to be all these NGO cat goers and it's
No, not that at all. Because when you've got nothing else to do.
I suppose. But what I was going to say is completely different but similar. Mm-hmm. I was just recently on a course, dancing. I teach a bit of dancing. So I was on a course there and we had a teacher here from the UK.
Yeah.
And it came up about we obviously sometimes video the kids so we can remember the dances or send it to them so they can remember it, those kinds of things. And she was saying in the UK, they're extreme, but it can be having videos of the children that you teach on your phone can be considered as some sort of, you know, child pornography.
Yeah.
Not as extreme as that, but it's why do you have these things and you can't explain it away. And I just think, but for me it's a teaching tool, you know, I do need it. I'm not gonna I teach millions of kids every millions I wish I teach a lot of children and I don't remember from one day to the next what I did with them last week, you know, or what I did with them yesterday, because it's so varied. I teach 10-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 3-year-olds, so it's those that's the worry, is that you are doing something innocent, but to somebody else it's extremely...
But in a way, it's kind of, we've thrown the baby away with the bathwater.
Totally, totally. We've gone too extreme and it's just too much now, you know?
You know, and I become, and a lot of people who work in the same field as I do, become a victim of this in a way, simply because we are trying to put out educational content, helping people have better sex, more pleasure, more intimate and fulfilling
and it's
relationships.
Seen as smut, basically.
That's it. And there are so many places that we are banned. We post YouTube videos. That is me talking.
Yeah. And don't tell me you've been kicked off of YouTube as well.
We haven't been kicked off, but we post a video every week.
Yeah.
So here's the ad for the Eros Life SA YouTube channel. Go watch. There's so much cool stuff there.
Right.
But there are videos that at least once a month that are flagged and we need to question their decision.
That's crazy. But I remember we had a discussion about a post you put up about massage on Facebook, and it was just about intimacy, and that was also flagged as, why are you on that site then? Why are you part of that group? Is it just to stir? Is it just, you know, are you trolling? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I was talking about this with my daughter this morning, that, for example, a journey about ayahuasca is absolutely fine today. And we were talking this morning about venues, that there are venues that will not allow me to teach there, regardless of what I'm teaching. So I can be teaching, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we did this incredibly beautiful introduction to tantric massage. On the course were two sisters.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to come learn. They didn't have partners.
Good for them.
They came with each other. There was no genital touching in it, and they learned some beautiful, beautiful things.
I bet they have partners now.
There were couples, there were singles. It was this total mixture of people.
Right.
And in the past, when I have spoken to certain venues and says, this is who I am, this is what I want to do, we don't do those kind of things here. And these are spiritual venues.
Yeah, I know.
But if I phone them up and I said, I want to come do an ayahuasca journey there, they'll say, oh, that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's...
And we've put sex in this place that is so separate from everything else.
Mm.
And you have to look at these people and say, well, don't they have genitals? Don't they have sex? Or is like from the middle of their thighs to their waist, It doesn't exist.
But it's taboo. That's the problem. Mm. We can't talk about it. We can't, you know, you're embarrassed to, you know what it's like. You're watching something and the people are kissing or having sex on the TV. Your parents walk in and you're like, you know, that you can't, you just cannot be out there. You cannot be seen doing it or talking about it. I mean, you know, it's those kinds of things.
Which is, and this is the gap. And that's, it's a lot of why we have the kind of sex that we have, and where so much of the abuse does exist, because it's never been brought out into the open.
Which is why there's a need for sex dolls and that kind of industry, you know, because people are not, they can't do what they want to do with, or they don't feel comfortable to do what they want to do with their partner, or they don't have the partner that they want, you know, or don't have a partner at all, and just need to,
And there's a place for that. And it would just be wonderful for people to be able to be more authentic.
Right.
You know, my friend Galen Fuss in America is a therapist who specializes in fetish and kink.
Oh, right.
And he coined a term, sexual authenticity disorder, which most people in our world suffer from simply because we are not sexually authentic.
Right.
We don't share our fantasies. We don't share our desires. We repress them.
But why? Are we too embarrassed? Why don't we share them? Why are we not sharing?
Because of the fear of judgment.
Right.
And the rejection that comes from that. That's the thing. It's not the judgment, yes, but the rejection. So if you and I are in a relationship and I say, okay, baby, this is what I want to do tonight. And shock horror.
Yeah.
Never mind the shock horror, but the fact that you might walk out the door and never come back.
But then that person is probably not the right person
They're
for
not,
you.
Not, but we can't often see beyond that because the fear of that is too great.
Yeah, and we're so desperate to hang on to someone. Maybe it was difficult to find person in the first place.
That's it. And the shame of being judged for what we feel is enormous.
Yeah, it's sad for people, really.
It is.
To live like that, I think.
Yeah. And people struggle, and that's why when people embark on a sexual journey, it causes enormous upheaval in lives and relationships.
So what would you sort of recommend to do if that's, you know, would you call in someone like you to help the process of introducing it possibly? Or
yeah, you need to learn how to do that. And the bottom line of the understanding is, and this is a real bottom line, is at some point that might be a big enough thing that ends a relationship.
Right.
And that's the truth.
Right.
But it comes down to living authentically. And then it comes down to not only sexual authenticity, but emotional authenticity and life authenticity. You know, think about how many people are in jobs that they absolutely hate.
Or I think authenticity everywhere. Nobody's authentic on Instagram. Everybody's playing these games and being somebody they're not, you know.
So
Facebook, Instagram, anywhere.
So it becomes across our lives.
And dinner with your friends. You're telling them one story. Meanwhile, at home, it's a different thing.
And when you become authentic, your life changes.
I'm sure there must be such a relief or such a release from it.
It's enormous because we carry so much armor, so many masks, and we spend so much energy holding all of that in place. And when we let it go, it's like, I can breathe.
Yeah.
But it changes your life because people leave jobs, they leave relationships.
Yeah.
And if we taught our children authenticity from the beginning, we would give them the opportunity to create a very, very different world.
Because you're not giving power to insecurity then.
No.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is this judgment, the fact that I have to be a certain way. I have to live a certain life. I have to live in a certain place. I have to drive a certain car. Everything around that. Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, what's really important?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you were saying about relationships. I think it's very, people are often shocked when a relationship just suddenly comes to an end. A husband turns around and says he doesn't want to be with his wife anymore or vice versa. And I think you do wonder how much stuff have they been harboring.
For
how long?
Yeah.
Have they been miserable? Because also people come across as really happy and then suddenly, boom,
behind
it's over.
Closed doors, it's a different story.
Totally.
And the sad thing is, if we learnt a whole lot about relationships and about communication a lot of that could be different.
Mm.
So I've been writing about that a little bit this week, and I've said that relationships and pleasure are the part of life that we are most inadequately prepared for.
Right.
Because we have no skill.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And we're expected to just get it right.
Yeah.
And that is, it's impossible.
And what right examples do we have? Nobody's doing it properly.
Generally, we have our parents.
Right.
We have what we see from family, what friends. We see from friends. They might get it right or they might not. They might be happy or they might not. But because somebody has been together for 50 years does not mean they're happy.
No.
A lot of people are just fucking miserable.
Yeah.
And they'll stay
just getting
there
on with it.
Because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And there's enormous fear if a woman hasn't worked, for example. And after 30 years, that came up with me recently with a client.
Aww.
30 odd years of marriage, and all of a sudden her kids leave home, and she realizes she is so unhappy.
Yeah.
And terrified to leave because of what it means.
Yeah.
And so many people are like
but
that.
But then you're facing the reality then, aren't you? You like in her case, it's obviously right in her face now.
But she knew that years ago.
Did she?
And never did anything about it. Because we know.
Mm.
And we tell ourselves the most amazing amount of lies. Mm. There's a wonderful saying. There's an incredible spiritual teacher called Adyashanti who says that enlightenment is a destructive process.
Right.
It has nothing to do with happiness. It's about the taking away of illusion to see what is.
It's very clever.
It takes courage to do that because then you're really faced with what is in your life.
Yeah.
And then you see where you've gotten yourself.
Mm.
There's always a choice. Is it easy? No, it's not.
Yeah.
But it's there.
We have I have a big thing about I don't like to settle for things. If I'm not comfortable with it, if it's not exactly how I want it, and it might sound bossy or picky or any of those things, but I just know I'm going to make myself miserable. Just, you know, there's no way you can
I'm
just
carry I'm working
with
on. A lot of women and men at the moment who are in that same position.
Yeah.
And like something comes along and it's okay. Should I settle for it?
Yeah.
And I'm not a great one.
But I find that with relationships.
A lot of don't settle.
And at my age and younger than me, you know, people hit their 30s. I need to find someone, get married and have kids. Doesn't matter who it is. And I think you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life.
No, don't do that.
No. Definitely not.
Nadine, we want to hear more from you. Tell us.
I've also found prices of sex dolls if you want.
Tell us quickly.
There's
yes.
one here for £7,735.
Ooh, so what's that? That's like what? Like nearly 120,000 rand or something.
She comes with artificial intelligence.
That's
an articulated skeleton. Customizable hair. She has eyes and skin color. No, I'm kidding. You can customize her hair, her eyes, and her skin color, as well as other bits, it says in brackets. Oh, dear. So, yeah, you link her to the internet, and I think you can update her software. She can email you. You can email her. All those kinds of things.
£7,000. Mm. I could think of so many other things to do.
There's one for $4,000.
Oh, it's cheapy. Cheapies.
Yeah. Oh, the one we were talking about earlier looks like she's $2,500.
Oh, that's like bottom of the range.
Pounds. Yeah. Yeah. And she's the one you can peel her face off and put it back together again.
Everybody can have one for $2,000.
It's like Oprah. You can take one. You can have one. Everybody's getting one.
That would
one.
Be hilarious at the end of a TV show.
Everybody gets a sex doll.
Well, imagine just standing in front of a show and like throwing all these vibrators and sex toys and things out into the
We audience. Should suggest it to Ellen.
Absolutely. That would be so fantastic.
Dear. So, yeah. So, they are pricey, but I suppose if that's what you're looking for. Yeah, and you're saving yourself on dinners and things like that.
You're going to pay for your pleasure.
To woo another woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Claire, this has been so much fun.
Are you done?
Do you know what? It is almost 11 o'clock.
Never. That I can't amazing. Believe that. Okay, thank you for having
so
me.
So we definitely have to.
We need 2 hours next time.
Absolutely. We need to do this again. Get to the tech. Which is really cool. A pluviophile is somebody who gets turned on by rain.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I was going to say sunshine.
Yeah. Well.
But I'm too scared. There we go.
Turn on by rain, which is beautiful.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Sex in the rain, nude in the rain. Absolutely.
Also, the sound of it's beautiful. So, yeah. Wow, yes. That's lovely.
So, cool workshop coming up on the 13th of March. I'm doing something I haven't done before. An introduction to spiritual sexuality.
All right.
What is spiritual sexuality? What does that actually mean? And how do you create those experiences? So it's a talk workshop. There's no nudity. There's no sex. It's on the website, www.eroslife.co.za.
And what are you going to learn from it?
What spiritual sex is.
Okay.
How you start to create those experiences. What right. the power of intention is. A little bit about sexual energy.
Right.
And what you can do with that.
Okay. Is it for couples or singles? Or?
Both.
Oh, interesting.
For both.
Okay.
So that is really awesome, and I'm really looking forward to that. And all other workshops we have are on the website, eroslife.co.za. Check out our YouTube channel. Really cool stuff there. And I wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.